This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And why do we call them vacation planners and not travel agents? Well, it's simple. They're in the business of putting together vacations and treat every client's vacation like it was their own. If you want to know what it feels like to be treated by the best, and I mean the best professionals in the travel industry, then go visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
This is Joe Terracani from The Marathon Show, and you're listening to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 123 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, did you spend time recently making sure your snowblower is ready?
No snow yet, wise guy. No snow yet. I have a shout-out. This is kind of an unusual one. A listener named Michael Boyles contacted me, and he has been training to run with his dog. And his dog is a Catahoula leopard dog. And ran recently, got up to 10 miles running with him. So I know a lot of listeners run with their pets. And so this is a shout out, first time ever, to Cody, who is a dog, a running dog. So yay, Cody. Great picture on our Facebook page, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty cool. Well, our cup continues to runneth over. And with a very, very important weekend looming in the future, we have a very special guest to talk about something that a lot of us struggle with, and that is why we gain weight while we train. And to talk to us about that is a very special guest. She is a nationally acclaimed nutrition expert. She is the official nutritionist of Run Disney, and she is affectionately called the Diet Diva. I think you know who I'm talking about. It's Tara Guidus. Tara, welcome.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So Tara, a few things. First of all, I told you offline that when you were on our show last time, we had so much feedback. It's one of the episodes you were on were some of the most downloaded. So I know people are really interested in this. And I've also talked about before that I don't think people take advantage of some of the talks that go on at the expos as much as they should, because there's so many other things going on, and I understand. But Mike and I sat down, I think it was at the Tower of Terror, and listened to you do this talk. And, you know, I'm a science person, and you know, I've listened to a lot of talks about nutrition. But this one, I think, probably for me, was made the most sense and was the most interesting. And that was about why we gain weight sometimes when we're doing distance running, which is just has been a huge puzzle for me. And what you said just was like, it was like, oh, like a light went off. It was so wonderful. So we're wondering if you would come on. And I've mentioned it so many times. Honestly, full disclosure, I was getting a massage yesterday. And I was talking to my massage therapist about this topic. And I was like, have my head down in the massage thing. And I was talking about you and your talk about sumo wrestlers and
how much.
So yeah, so it's been fascinating. So I thought that since, you know, I encourage people to go to your talks during the expos because they're fantastic. But if they can't, we were wondering if you would tell us a little bit about what you talk about, because I think it would be really beneficial to folks.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think you know, a lot of people tend to up their mileage. I hear this all the time. I'm training for a marathon or a half marathon, and I've doubled my mileage or tripled my mileage or whatever it is, and they expect that the weight is going to start melting off because they're running so much more. And what actually happens for a lot of people is they find themselves gaining a couple pounds. We're not talking, you know, a lot of weight, but maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 7 pounds, which, you know, can be significant. And
yeah, you don't want to carry that along with you when you're running. You don't want to carry seven extra pounds.
Exactly. So, you know, it's very frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. So in the talk, I kind of break it down to, you know, why you may be actually gaining this weight while you're training for a marathon. And, you know, there's kind of two sides to it. One is, I think a lot of people overestimate how many calories they're burning. And, you know, there's 100 calories per mile. And that is very, very untrue, depending on your body size, your intensity. You know, there's so many factors that go into how many calories you're burning while you're running that you just can't use this rule of thumb to say, oh, I'm burning 100 calories a mile. And I use the example of myself from years ago where I had one of those little devices that I put on, you know, the armband, and I thought I was burning 100 calories a mile, went out for a run, came back, downloaded it, and I was burning 61 calories per mile. And that's, I mean, 40% fewer calories per mile. You multiply that by a week's worth of running times a month's worth of running, and now all of a sudden you realize, wow, I'm not burning as many calories as I thought I was.
Do you find that those devices like a Fitbit or a Garmin where it's estimating your calories are not accurate or?
Well, I think it's more accurate than you just guessing.
Yeah.
Am I burning? You know, which is what most people do. They're like, oh, I burned, you know, that 100 calories a mile.
Right.
So yeah, I think that, I mean, I use the Fitbit on and off for a long time and I love it. I love that it shows me not just my exercise calories, but it also shows me my sleep and it shows me, you know, how many calories I'm burning just moving around. And that's one of the other things that I talk about in the talk that, it's not just that 1 hour of exercise you're doing every day or however much exercise you're doing every day. It's what else are you doing throughout the day? So, for example, I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old boys. And when I get home at 5 o'clock in the evening, I don't sit down until I go to bed. Whereas a lot of people, when they get home at 5 o'clock in the evening, you know, sit down and eat dinner and then sit all night long. And when you look at my Fitbit calories that I've burned, I burn more calories from 5 to 9 p.m. than I do during my exercise hour, during my, you know, during like the rest of the day, because I'm literally active with my kids. So, you know, so it's all of these things play into, you know, how can I not gain the weight during marathon training?
So one of the things that you talked about that really struck home with me, and I think this is where I've fallen down, is, you know, like, for instance, yesterday I ran 13 miles. So in the past, I might have said, oh, tomorrow I'm running 13 miles, so I'm going to eat a little bit more. I'm going to have that second helping at dinner. And then, okay, now I've run the 13 miles. So I just ran 13 miles, so I'm going to help myself to maybe a nice healthy meal, and then I'll have a cookie.
Yep.
And then later, yep, like the next day, I ran 13 miles. So I'm going to, I know that that's a trap that I've fallen into. Do you feel that that is one of the reasons that people gain weight?
Absolutely. That's the second reason why people gain weight, and probably actually even more so than the first reason of overestimating how many calories you're burning. So, you know, it's exactly what you just said. It's like, oh, I'm doing this long run tomorrow, so I better load up on the carbs tonight. And then tomorrow comes and you have, you know, your little bit of breakfast before your run. You have your drinks, you know, sugar, gels, whatever during your run, which can be 300, 400, or 500 calories, depending on how much, you know, you're doing. But nobody accounts for that. You know, they don't remember that, oh, I've had 500 calories while I ran 13 miles or whatever it is, you know. And then afterwards you go out for breakfast with your friends and you get the, you know, big old stack of pancakes and sausage and eggs and, you know, yada, yada. And then later in the day, oh yeah, I ran, you know, so it's very easy to overcompensate for the amount of calories that you did because you think I deserve it. And you do, but, a lot of times you're overcompensating. People are overcompensating for how many calories they're burning.
So one of the things, the question that I have kind of tangentially to that is that, and I think this is common, I've heard other people talk about it too. Like yesterday I finished running and I had some chocolate milk on the way home. And then I'm not super hungry, but then about 2 hours later, it is like a furnace has started, like pregnancy hungry. Like, I must eat everything.
Get in my belly.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, it's interesting to me to find a balance between eating healthy and, you know, trying to because the hunger is just really intense. So one of the things that you said is the idea of eating until you're kind of just full enough where you need to eat like 2 or 3 hours later.
Yep. Yeah. And eating to satisfied versus fullness. And that takes practice. That's not something that I can necessarily teach. It's something that you have to feel in your stomach and feel, you know, what I could eat more. So the way I describe it is satisfaction versus fullness is when I stop when I'm satisfied, I could eat more. No problem. And maybe I want to eat some more. I would like to have another piece of pizza. I would like to have whatever, but I know that I don't need it. I know that I shouldn't. And if I do have it, then I'm going to get to the point where I'm actually full, potentially uncomfortably full, a little groggy, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's finding that happy place where you're satisfied, but not full or over full. And to the point where, yeah, food is going to last 2 to 3 hours. And if the food is lasting you 5 hours, then you ate too much at that previous meal because your body doesn't need all that. And that's when you're going to go ahead and store it.
You know, I don't want this to sound like a commercial for Fitbit, but I mean, I wear one too, and Michelle wears one too. And if my math is correct, for 13 miles, Michelle, you burned 780 calories yesterday. And if you took in 500 with sports drinks and or gels, and that was about 500, then you burned only 280 calories. So I think, Tara, what you're saying, it sounds like, you know, we have to be aware of everything that we put into our bodies. We need to be aware that even though we're exercising, that doesn't give us carte blanche to go out and you know, just fill up. We need to be aware that, you know, we are in training and that we don't need all that. And like you said, we need to understand when we are satisfied but not really, really you know, really full. And I think the Fitbit or any type of anything that you can do to monitor your input and output goes a long way towards reaching whatever goal you're aiming for.
Doesn't it take a few minutes for the food to actually, you know, register that you're in your stomach, that you're full? I mean, it's 15 or 20 minutes. If you have that extra piece of pizza, you may end up feeling Thanksgiving full at the end, right?
Exactly. And that's why you want to stop when you're satisfied versus full. Because if you stop when you're full, then 15, 20 minutes later, you're stuffed.
Yeah.
When that signal actually gets from, you know, your stomach to your brain. So you want to definitely, it takes that 15 to 20 minutes to get the signal. And that's why we want to eat slowly too, because if you're eating really fast, you think you stopped when you were supposed to, and then again, you find out yourself stuffed 15 minutes later, even though you haven't eaten anything more because it finally caught up. So yeah, that definitely want to be eating more slowly so that we can stop when we are supposed to.
So one of the things that I really struck me about your talk too, that I'd never really thought of before, is the whole discussion around the sumo wrestler and about eating, overeating and eating too many calories at one sitting. Because I think that some people will eat a huge breakfast and then say, all right, I ate a huge breakfast, and then not eat anything until later on that night. And I was wondering if you could just kind of run through that really quickly.
Sure. So what I call the sumo wrestler diet is, and I actually did study how do sumo wrestlers get fat, because I wanted to know how do you become 350, 400 pounds on purpose? And they purposely don't eat, or they purposely, you know, go much of the day with very, very little food. So they don't eat breakfast. They eat a very, very light lunch, if any. Some of them don't even eat lunch. And then they have this big, 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 big dinner and then go to bed. And it's not just because they're going to bed right after dinner. It's that they didn't eat all day long. And a lot of us fall into this trap, maybe not that pronounced of a plan, but we're eating, you know, that little bit for breakfast and then the nice little frozen meal for lunch and then an apple mid-afternoon and then our sensible dinner. And then all of a sudden we're starving at 9 o'clock at night and attack the cookies or ice cream or whatever because you're carbohydrate addicted. It's not that you're carbohydrate addicted. It's just that you're hungry. You haven't had enough throughout the day. And so I'm a big believer in supply and demand, that you supply your body with energy when you need that energy. And whether that's first thing in the morning, whether you're exercising or not, you need energy right away when you get up in the morning. If you're exercising, if you're running first thing in the morning, then absolutely you need to have something to eat before your run. And you, if it doesn't sit well in your stomach, then you have to do a little bit of trial and error and train your stomach to expect to have food in there, and or use some sports beverages or gels or something like that that will also, you know, give you some good nutrients, or good, you know, good sugar, good calories in there. So that's, you know, that's a big part of it, is that you don't, you aren't following the sumo wrestler plan where you're not eating much of the day and then filling up on too much at one point of the day.
So Tara, having said that, it reminds me of my son when he was into training and becoming a trainer, and he would tell me that he preferred taking in 6 small meals a day rather than eating 3 big meals a day. Could you speak to that? Because I do recall during your presentation that it sounded just as what he would say to me many, many years ago. So could you talk a little bit to that?
Sure. Yeah. And that's exactly what I recommend, is to take that food and spread it out throughout the day, whether it's 6 meals, whether it's 8 meals, you know, however many meals it is. And typically it's, you know, people eat like the 3 meals a day, and then they'll have snacks in between. And I call snacks a bridge, to bridge your energy in between those meals. And so, you know, I often will have 3, 4, or 5 snacks throughout the day, depending on what my day is like, when I need it. You know, I'll eat 3 times in the morning, at least. I'll eat before my run, I'll eat right after my run, I'll have another mid-morning snack, and then I'll have lunch. So I usually have 3 different eating events before noon. And then I'll have lunch, and then I usually have 2 snacks in the afternoon, because, you know, there's 6-7 hours in between lunch and dinner for a lot of people. If you're not eating dinner until 6:30, 7 o'clock, you're eating lunch at, you know, a typical noon, you've got lots of opportunity for more snacks in the afternoon. So that might be another few eating events. And then depending on what time dinner is and what time you're going to bed, you may or may not need that bedtime snack or evening snack. You know, but yeah, I definitely am a big believer in taking that food and spreading it more out throughout the day.
I'm laughing here, giggling on mute, because you can tell you're a scientist because you're calling them eating events.
I like to call them eating events.
Eating events.
It's so, events to me.
So one of the things that, you know, and I don't want to replicate your whole talk, but I mean, I was just struck by so many pieces of it that just made sense to me. What, and tell me if I'm understanding this correctly. One of the things that I learned is that if I eat too much breakfast at a certain point, those extra calories are not doing me any good. I should just eat what I need to eat. And then and if I don't, if I overeat, the extra calories are actually not going to be burned off, and they'll be stored as fat. Is that correct?
Exactly. So what happens is anytime you put energy, sugar, calories, whatever you want to call it, into your body, your pancreas is going to release insulin. And insulin's job is to clear out that glucose from your bloodstream within 2 hours, or put it into, you know, the different accounts it needs to go into. So if you have the all-you-can-eat buffet for breakfast, to me, that's not any better than having the all-you-can-eat buffet at dinner. I don't want you to have an all-you-can-eat buffet ever. I don't want you to eat too much, way too much ever, because your body just says, I don't need this all right now. I am going to go ahead and store it. And that can happen within 2 hours after having that meal. So even if you go to that all-you-can-eat buffet for breakfast and you're not hungry for lunch, you still could be that's already stored, because
the
pancreas
damage is done.
Damage is done. Right. And it's just because you're not hungry doesn't mean that, you know, that you shouldn't eat.
So what sort of things are you eating for snacks?
So my typical snacks, I always have a Greek yogurt with some fresh fruit sometime in the morning. I'll bring that in for my snack. I have almonds, pistachios. I love nuts. So I'll do almonds and pistachios are kind of my 2 favorite ones that I'll do as snacks. And I do some bars, you know, depending on the day and where I am, because they're just easy and you can throw them into a bag and all that. I do fresh fruit. I always have a banana pretty much every day, or whatever fruit is in season. I'll, you know, have cherries during the summer. I'll have berries. I'll have, you know, grapes. I'll have oranges, whatever it is that, you know, that happens to be kind of in season. So those are kind of my standbys.
And so it sounds like it requires some planning. If you're not going to be eating, you know, junk, going to the vending machine because you're hungry, you have to plan every morning.
You know, a little bit. But I mean, I pack my little Greek yogurt because I take my Greek yogurt and put some fresh fruit into like a little, you know, Tupperware container. Mm-hmm. So I already mix it together. So I'll do that the night before. So yeah, I mean, it does take a little bit of planning, and then grabbing that banana or throwing the grapes into a baggie does take a little bit of planning, but it's, you know, once it becomes routine, it's like, that's just what you do. And, you know, I do it when I pack my kids' lunches. And so it's just sort of like, that's, you know, I pack myself, I pack them, and we're all set.
Right, right. So, I know we could probably just go on for about 2 hours, but is it possible to lose weight while you're training for a marathon or a half marathon?
Yeah, really good question. I'm glad that you asked that, because I don't want people to lose tremendous amounts of weight too close to the race, because then you can be, you know, depleting your glycogen stores too much. If you're losing too much too fast, that means that you're not getting enough energy, of course, and you're potentially wasting muscle. And I don't want you to waste muscle. So I'm always wanting people to lose approximately 1 to 2 pounds a week, depending, of course, on your size. It could even be a half a pound a week. If you only have 5 pounds to lose, it could be a half a pound a week. And as long as it comes off, you know, you'll be happy when that 5 pounds is actually off. But if you have more to lose, it might be 1 to 2 pounds a week. And focus on like the weight loss phase, like maybe 3 or 4 months before your marathon or half marathon race. Because again, if you're too close to the race and you're depleting too much, then you might get to the race and your glycogen stores aren't full enough, you know, your carbohydrate stores, you're risking sort of, you know, hitting the wall during that race. So I'd rather you try to, you know, plan a little bit farther out.
So it's not a good idea to be a month before the race and feel like you're hungry all the time because you want to quickly lose 10 pounds.
Correct. Okay. Yep. Yep. Or like in the new year, because the Disney Marathon is the second week in January, all of a sudden you go on some crazy diet plan, which I've had friends do that before. Like they went on this, you know, cereal diet, January 1st, and then the marathon is 10 days later. And it's like, wait, what are you doing? You know, don't do any crash diets a week and a half before the marathon.
Right.
So Tara, before we let you go, there was one question that I've been thinking about, and I've heard this many, many times, and it comes under the heading of hidden calories. And I think that for a lot of people, I know that myself, sometimes I forget to log this when I'm logging my calories for my Fitbit. And that is that when we, during the course of the day, when we're drinking any type of liquid, fluid, whatever, there are some hidden calories in there. And can you talk a little bit about what you like to see people drink during the day?
Sure. Yeah. I think liquids are one of the biggest sources of hidden calories and or forgotten calories. And so, yeah, I absolutely want people to drink water and or something that's calorie free. So whether you squeeze some Crystal Light into your water or just have plain water or do some of the sugar free replenishment beverages like a Powerade Zero or Gatorade, you know, whatever the lower calorie ones. I think that's fine. But if you're sitting there drinking, you know, full strength lemonade or sweet tea or regular sodas or something like that, I mean, it's 150 calories for 12 ounces, and that can add up very, very quickly. So I'd rather you just drink calorie free, and then milk and orange juice or, you know, 100% juices are fine. But most people aren't going to overdrink on those kinds of things anyway. So if you're going to do juice, just you can get 100% of your vitamin C in 6 ounces of orange juice. And so, you know, just a 6 ounce glass or an 8 ounce glass of 100% juice a day is perfect. And then the rest of what you should be doing should be just water or, you know, if you're having a glass of milk.
Terrific. So one of our friends, Amanda North, is actually using your nutrition consulting services as she's preparing for her races in January. So I wanted you to just talk a little bit about your website and if people wanted to get in touch with you to work with you as a nutritionist or your team.
Sure, absolutely. So my website is dietdiva.net. And I have myself and two other registered dietitians that work with me. And we, you know, see all kinds of different athletes. We work with the Orlando Magic, University of Central Florida athletes. And then just, you know, like I said, all kinds of different, you know, from golfers to triathletes to water skiers to all kinds of different athletes.
And you have a new book too.
And yes, new book just came out 2 weeks ago. It's called the Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies. Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies. It's got 100 recipes in it, and it's really great.
Even dummies can have flat bellies. That's good to know. Cool.
Regarding the upcoming Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, there is a little event called the Dopey. And the only thing that comes to mind when I think of that is I think of all the nutritionally challenged runners that will be trying that event. And we would love for you to come back and talk to how those of us who will be running multiple races that week should approach that week and how we can best handle what's going to be very hot, and that's going to be replenishing the hydration and the nutrition.
Yep, I would love to, because I think it's really, really critical that people are going to be paying attention to their nutrition if they're going to be doing the back-to-back-to-back races. So, yeah, absolutely. Would love to.
And they're going to need to think about that before they see you at the expo and your talk.
That's correct. That's correct. That'll be awesome. So, for Tara Guidis and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'd say right about now, people are starting to think about those spring vacation trips. And those who are really smart are going to the folks at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel to help them make those dreams come true. So do you have a dream and you don't know where to start? Well, why not start by visiting the professionals at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel and let them help you make those dreams come true. Visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.